You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 402. Today is Monday, May 21st, 2018, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hammy and Kurt. And folks, please help out the podcast by spreading the word. Subscribe, write a review, share links on Twitter and Facebook. If you don't, I'm going to drown this litter of kittens I have right here.
That's 2 weeks in a row, Kurt. Steve.
Look, the stakes are high, is what I'm saying.
We just automatically throw that on me.
I did. Sorry. It's just, yeah, it is. It's habit.
Kurt told me to say that.
What has happened here? We hit 400 shows, and Steve, it's going downhill, dude. Pull up.
No, look, we need to spread the joy more before I kill these kittens.
By threatening catricide.
All right, guys. In tonight's show, we'll discuss headlines, including Sunday's incredible come-from-behind win, the end of the Joey Bats era, Dansby's return, and we'll give our quarter mark of the season grades for the team. But first, a quick break. All right, guys, lots of headlines to cover, and none bigger than the Braves' come-from-behind win in the bottom of the ninth in Sunday's game against the Marlins. I mean, guys, in a season with no shortage of exciting moments already, this may be the best one of them all. Ham, do you have a favorite thing from the comeback?
The confidence of Freeman, right? Just that he said if he walks Flowers right here, we're going to win this games and win this game. And him coming in, you know, just saying it's a fun to be a part of. Just the belief that we have in each other is that right? I mean, the team is just performing so well right now that every highlight is amazing. And I can't speak to anything more than that. The confidence in that, the confidence in Dansby, just they're playing at such a high degree, and their confidence was just amazing. And I don't know. That's it. That's it. It blew me away.
But I agree. Like, again, in a season full of confidence building moments, this has just got to be unbelievable for them just to continue the magic. Really crazy.
Yeah.
Curtis.
Yeah. And it was Dansby, I think, was my favorite part. He's just back, obviously, off the DL. He had gone, I think, 0-for-4 up to that point. So that it was on him, that he was still able to come through. His post-game comments are awesome. I mean, you could tell that these guys, and it's cliche because, you know, I mean, it's easy to have great team chemistry when things are happening that are going your way. But it's his comments about, you know, it's not about one guy, it's about every guy. And I mean, I know that those are all sort of cliche things to say, but you really... You can tell, you know, there's some genuineness to it that they really enjoy each
Mark
other.
Hakes.
They really enjoy.
It's like his two things. We have fun as a team and we're good. We're good and we have fun. And everything takes care of itself, you know.
And it was huge. I mean, to lose 2 of 3 to the Marlins, who are really not that good at home, as you're about to go off on a really difficult road trip. And to have your ace, in quotation marks, be the guy that just gets spanked to send you off on a Sunday, that seems like that would have set a horrible tone for the road trip. We were recording this Monday and the Braves just lost. But still, you know, you feel like that would give them – hopefully give them a great boost to go on this very difficult road trip that they're now embarked upon.
Is the game over? Is the Monday game over?
It's over. They have lost 3-0.
Okay. But yeah, so like 10 times down to their last strike in the ninth.
Yeah.
5 of the 6 runs with 2 outs. I was at a show that my kid was in, and I peeked at my phone, and it was the Acuna sack fly that scored the first run. And I'm like, oh, that's nice, but it's 2 outs. And I just put my phone in my pocket. And I was just, well, it's over. To score 5 of those runs with 2 outs.
Yeah.
Just really just amazing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
100, they have a major league best 119 2-out runs right now. No other team has more than 100.
Yeah. Insane.
Insane.
And teams that were down 5 runs or more in the ninth inning so far this year were like 0-204.
Yeah.
So they are the first team to come back from a deficit like that. And I think which seems insane, but it is the largest ninth run deficit they've overcome to the day
To the day. Eight years to the day.
The Brooks Conrad Grand Slam walk-off. So,
yeah.
Amazing. All right, guys. Next up. So, Sunday morning marked the end of the Jose Bautista reign of mediocrity. I think that's being kind.
Yeah.
So, his slash line was 143, 250, 343. He struck out 30% of his at-bats. He had a negative war. But other than that, Ham, what did you think?
Well, he was bad. He was bad. But hey, you know what? You said, Steve, that you hope Anthopoulos moves on quickly after this experiment fails. And he did. So kudos to him. Yep. Joey Bats gave it his best. And he was bad. Right? But, you know, you look at Camargo, since he's come back. His slash line is 215, 370, 385. Flaherty, since Camargo came back, has been hitting 214, 313, 339. So for a month now. So, you know, it's not like the problem is solved at third until Austin Riley gets here. So I do credit the Braves for trying, you know, for taking a flyer on somebody. It was worth the risk. It didn't work out. We cut bait. We moved on. And so there you go.
It was low risk and had the two homers not happened last week, it would have ended sooner.
Yeah, and they didn't increase the risk of it by prolonging the experiment.
Yeah, agreed. All right, so guys, the week started badly with news that Mike Soroka was going on the DL with a shoulder issue. All the tests were negative, which is good. And frankly, it seems all very, very precautionary, actually, that he said, yeah, it just felt kind of tight. And they were like, yeah, let's just take it carefully. You know, on the flip side, it leads to Luis Gohara is going to get a start on Wednesday, the final game of the Phillies series. I expect a great start from Gohara. He's looked quite good in his last couple of relief appearances, and I'm ready for the Gohara, era to begin. So,
Gohara, you know, Hara.
What's that?
Gohara.
It is?
Oh, the Go era. Mm-hmm. Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, very good, Kurt.
Yeah, pending. I'm totally fine with him taking McCarthy's spot, right?
No. He's taking.
Yeah, no, I know, but long term.
Long term.
I mean, because Soroka is 10 day and it's precautionary. He'll be back in a week or two, right? But then what you hope for in this whole scenario is that Gohara stays and McCarthy maybe goes to the pen, right? Or, and your rotation is Teheran, Fulte, Newcomb, Soroka, Gohara. And there we are. That's the team, the rotation we hope for at the beginning of the season. And we're finally here, and we are in first place in the National League East. You know?
Yeah, I think it may be more likely that he goes to AAA for a while and they ride McCarthy a little longer and trade him. Hmm. You know? I mean, we'll see. I mean, McCarthy had a very good bounce back start last week after his two really terrible ones.
And Whistler wasn't terrible in the start that he did. Yeah.
But why not, right? I mean, we are now a half game up in the National League East. You want to put your best bullpen out there. I think our best bullpen now is building off of what Gohara did last season and his relief success. It's Gohara, Soroka, Newcomb, Teheran, and Fulte. That's our best five.
You're not concerned about how young that started?
Yeah, the thing is we don't quite know what Gohara's got yet. You know, we need to see.
We started to see it last season. I know.
Okay, I'm saying, yeah, I'm with Kurt. That's a lot.
But McCarthy, I think McCarthy over the course of the season is going to even out. And I think Gohara has a bigger upside. And there's long-term upside to starting him.
Which is why you trade McCarthy in July and then put Gohara in.
I think Gohara gives you a better chance to win.
Okay. Well, let's see what happens Wednesday. So last headline, and you know, we mentioned it, Dansby returned from the DL for the last two games against the Marlins. And I know, you know, other than the amazing game winner on Sunday, he didn't get a hit. But my God, the bottom third of the lineup just looks so much better with Dansby in it. You know, I'm very excited to have him back.
You mean handsome-wise or?
Both, Curtis.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, and it's such a perfect situation for him, right? With the top of the lineup just killing it, there's no pressure on him, and everyone's confidence. You know, he can sit there like he said after the game on Sunday. I can just barrel up to the ball. That's all I got to worry about. I'm good at that. You know, Freeman said, we have all the confidence in the world in him, like Kurt was talking about earlier. It's a perfect situation for him.
All right, guys, so we're recording this Monday night, as we said, and the Braves have played 46 games so far with the conclusion of Game 1 in Philly. So they're just at the quarter mark of the season. So it's time for some grades, and we're going to start with the offense. So let's talk some of the offensive numbers. They're still just ridiculous and gaudy. So runs scored, they're first in the NL. Average, first. On base, second. Slugging, first. Strikeout percentage, lowest in the NL. Hard contact percentage, fifth in the league. Soft contact percentage, second to last. I mean, guys, so I will give the offense an A and not an A+, only because Acuna is still finding his footing. I think Camargo starts raking too. You know, the Ender had a slow start. I mean, I think that the offense can get better.
Curtis? Yeah. Okay.
Go.
Go, Curtis. Sorry.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, and we've missed some pieces. We allowed Bautista to be there, although you guys are right. That was a low risk move to make. But I think we got a strong bench with guys like Preston Tucker, with Flaherty, with Culberson, probably not so much. And I think he's the first guy that's going to be the next to go. But yeah, I mean, you can't really argue with what they've done offensively, what they've done on the base paths. The stolen bases that they have, Ender leading the majors. Is it in stolen bases right now?
Yeah, I didn't. I know they were tied in the NL for the lead.
They're first in all of baseball in stolen bases.
So, yeah, it's just super exciting. The fact that they're so aggressive and they strike out so little, that it's just
second
it's so
fewest
fun to watch.
Fewest in Ks in all of baseball.
In the majors.
I mean,
in the majors.
They'll get shut down, but from time to time, like they did on Monday. But, you know, that's just good pitching. That'll happen. Yeah. So, but, yeah, it's great. And, I mean, the ability to come back on a game like the game on Sunday, I mean, that completely rides with the fact that everybody up and down your lineup can hit.
Yeah, or get on base.
Right.
So Curtis, what's your grade? What's your grade, Curtis?
A, totally.
Yeah. I say A+ only because I think how far they've come since last season. Last season they were 21st in OPS in all of baseball, and I'm talking all of baseball here. These numbers this year they're third in OPS. The leap that they made there last season, they were 23rd in slugging in all of baseball. At the end of the season, they're third in slugging now, third in OBP. All the things you said, first in stolen bases, insane. Third in runs. You know, obviously the Red Sox are leading a lot of these. Third in hits, which is it's insane. It's insane what they're doing. And I think the reason that they're doing so well is they're putting it all together. So if you guys had to guess where the Braves ended up last season in all of baseball ranked in hits, what do you think their rank was? Guess.
20th.
Yeah, I would say like 24.
Sixth.
Really?
They were sixth in hits last season, but they were not, top of the league in any of those other categories. They were 20th, right? They were in that area across the board, OPS, slugging, OBP, runs, everything. But this season, they're just getting it done when it matters, right? And they're just putting, the hits were there last season. They're just... they're taking it to the next level, and the leap that they have made is so amazing. I give them an A+.
All right. So Curtis, let's move on to starting pitching. What do you got grade wise there?
Yeah. Starting pitching, I sort of fall between B and B+. The starting pitching has been pretty good overall. But there's a couple of places that really still need some work. They're not going long enough into the game, so they're sort of taxing the bullpen and they're walking too many guys. And so when you see the areas where they're sort of lower, it all sort of ties in with those things. They're seventh in ERA, they're sixth in earned runs, they're 24th in base on balls, which is really great. They're eighth in Ks, but they're 18th in batting average against, they're 19th in whip. They've got a strikeout to ball ratio or base on balls to ratio of 2.38. They're ninth in strikeouts per nine. So there's a lot of great numbers there. But then, you know, if you look at it, maybe there's some issues. You've got to deal with Folty and his emotions. You've got to deal with Tehran and his inconsistency. Suckiness. Yeah, you've got to deal with some of the youth. I mean, obviously the ace of our staff has been Newcomb, who's been pretty brilliant, but the other guys have had sort of gaps where they have not been so great consistently. So, and the fifth starting position has just been sort of a rotation of guys because guys get hurt or they don't produce. So yeah, that's sort of where I fall, B to B plus.
Yeah, I'm a B. I mean, yeah, because there's some question marks. Tehran, we don't know. McCarthy has become a bit of a question mark. Yeah, but a solid B. I mean, you know, you can't argue with the record. Hammy is speechless. All right.
My dog was here. Sorry. My dog was chiming in right there.
what grade did your dog give the starting vision?
It was an angry grade. Yeah, she's tough. She demands a lot. Yeah, I give him a B. There's certainly worse starting rotations out there than the Braves, right? And there's a lot of upside, and I think we're still in transition with some good pieces. And so, you know, we're a B with growth potential.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so sticking with pitching, let's move on to the bullpen. So in March, April, the first month of the season, the bullpen led the National League with 6.26 walks per nine. They were 10th in FIP at 3.95, 9th in ERA at 3.94. Moved to May, the walks per nine dropped from 6.26 to 2.73 for third best in the National League. The 3.95 FIP drops to 3.59, fourth best, and the ERA drops from 3.94 to 2.73, also fourth best. So I'll give the bullpen a B minus, right? Pulled down by the first month. Some guys are still scary. I mean, Moylan is scary. Biddle can be an adventure. Minter can be an adventure. He's walked too many guys. Vizzy's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you got Shane Carl minus the home run he gave up Monday night, I mean, Carl and Winkler and
brothers.
Yeah. Brothers not there. I mean, it's been pretty great. And the improvement's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hammy.
I think the words jumped out to me that you said was roller coaster. The whole bullpen's a roller coaster, except for the last two guys. Right. And it's it's always nerve wracking. But they're not always horrible. Right. You can sort of certainly get some good stuff from them, and they've gotten much better than they were to start. So yep. I give them a B.
Yeah, same. And I guess the main thing that I have is just closer situation. Vizcaíno blowing that game against the Cubs was really brutal, especially after we had gone up a run off Acuña's homer. Yeah. And so until they sort of get that straightened out, I don't know that he's really blown all that many games. But as you guys say, it's always an adventure. You never really feel like anything is certain when he goes out there. And even games where they're up.
Few clean innings.
Yeah, so I mean, even games where they're up big, he's given up runs in those games, so which don't show up as a blown save. But obviously, if it's a closer game, you don't want to get him giving up runs at all.
Yeah. All right, Ham, let's move on to the coaching staff. What grade would you give them?
I mean, I would give them I would give them high marks, which I'll reveal later. But, you know, we talked about how great the offense was doing. So you got to look at Kevin Seitzer, right? And, you know, sometimes you always blame the hitting coach when it's not going well, but you never give him credit when it is going well. And we've always questioned what real impact a hitting coach has or how they have impact. But if we're going to sort of marvel at the rankings that the offense has had so far, you got to imagine Kevin Seitzer has had a big part of that. So I give him an A. I give him the same grade that I give the offense. And then you talk about the confidence, right, that the team has in each other and that they're having fun and that they're good, right? And so that's obviously Snitker, but you also imagine you got to look at Walt Weiss, right, and what he's brought newly to the club this season. You know, Chuck Hernandez. I think you give him a B based on the average B that we gave the pitching staff. Seems like there's a lot of upside. You know, Ron Washington, you see what he does with Albies. and Swanson and how much he can teach those guys, and which he has taught those guys, I think you give him high marks. So overall, I give the coaching staff an A-. I think it's pulled down by the pitching a little bit, but this is a confident team. We're in first place. The offense is clicking, and you got to give some of that credit to the coaching staff.
Curtis?
Yeah, I would give them an A. I don't think that anybody expected that the Braves would be where they are right now at any point in the season, let alone a quarter of the way through the season. The level that they're playing at, despite all the off-field drama that happened over the offseason, for them to come in here with a young team and to put together the third or fourth best record in baseball through a quarter of the season, I think deserves a lot of praise. And so, I totally give them an A.
Yeah, I give them an A too. And frankly, the reason I didn't give them an A+ is, you know, Snitker's still like, don't put Moylan in against lefties. Like, you know, some goofy sort of, you know, pitching change stuff. Yeah, well, exactly. And Ron Washington, stop sending Freddie when the left fielder has the ball in his hand. You know, there's a few things. But my God, and again, you can't argue with anything that's really gone on this year. So solid A for the coaching staff. And Curtis, finish us up with your grade for the front office.
Really, obviously, another A. You just sort of look at the moves that they've made since Anthopoulos took over, which, of course, we don't need to repeat what happened. But
Did something happen?
Yes, coming into a situation like what he had to come into and sort of riding the ship. And frankly, everything he's done, it might not be a huge life-changing move, but every little piece that he's added. And even with the Bautista thing, we've already talked about it. I mean, it was such a low risk thing. I know it didn't work out. And you know what? It didn't work out and they cut him loose. So it's not to give them credit. They didn't keep the guy around. I mean, so far, one of the first things he did was he got rid of Matt Kemp, brought in McCarthy, who has had some good starts for us. Culberson, who is a bench player, got rid of Kazmir, got rid of Adrian Gonzalez in that trade. Cash to Houston for Preston Tucker. Didn't even have to give up any prospects to get Preston Tucker. Now, of course, Preston Tucker is not the player he was then now, but think of the contributions. Think of the early
season contributions
that he had. Cash to Pittsburgh for Shane Carl. You guys just talked about him. They brought Peter Moylan back in. Not a huge fan of that move, but, I mean, he has contributed. They signed Ryan Flaherty after he got released by the Phillies. He brought in Carlos Perez when Flowers got hurt, who was a good, solid defensive catcher that they had for a moment, and then they got rid of him and gave up nothing, gave up Ryan Shrimp to get Carlos Perez over here. And then the Bautista thing. They also brought in Anibal Sanchez when he got released. So he has brought in cumulative, sorry, thank you, Hamilton, two war off of these moves, these little piece together moves. He's brought a two war to the Braves.
Look at Kurt and the stats.
Indeed. That's that game that you play with cards, right?
Yes, exactly.
So, exactly. You know, there's not much that you can argue with. He brought in Eric Young. He brought in Walt Weiss. So it's been a pretty successful first couple of months here for Anthopoulos.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, solid A. The only thing I'd add is the moves, you know, the shuffling the end of the bullpen during that first month to stabilize it. And look at what May has brought. So, yeah, I mean, Anthopoulos has just been amazing.
Right? Yeah, and you think about all the decisions he had to make and the options there were leading up to opening day, making the opening day roster. And he made the perfect opening day roster. And we came out of the gate on fire. It seemed like he made all the right choices then, and it's led us to be where we are now. I give him an A as well.
Well, and allowing the team to be young, you know, I mean, they could have gone the other direction. This team could be young and could be struggling, but making the commitment to the players that are going to be part of this going forward and having them learn on the job at the highest level. I mean, that's the most important experience that they can have. So, yeah, it's been great. We'll see what happens with the trade deadline and if there's any moves that they're going to go out and make, if they go out and rent a third baseman or something like that or a starting pitcher.
Yeah,
we'll be curious to see. But, yeah, it's been very fun so far.
It would be so great to get a a third baseman. I know. I mean, I know we're bridging towards Riley, but just to see them make that investment to that we're competing this season and to be buyers at the trade deadline.
Josh Donaldson, baby.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. You know.
So I think if it happens, it'll be Moustakas, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know what? That's terribly true.
But that would be so exciting.
Yeah.
If that happens.
And he's getting paid nothing. He's only getting paid $5.5 million. So even if you make that move, it's not like you're got to commit a lot of money.
And then
to
I think you have no question marks, right? I mean, maybe some starting pitching question marks, but I don't know. If you bring Moustakas in at third and you have Acuna, Enciarte, Marquez, Freeman, Swanson, Albies, Moustakas, and then Flowers, Suzuki, I go to war with that team and that starting rotation. I mean, I think
is this war thing?
I think we're competitive this season with that team.
Yeah. I agree.
And there's no question marks, I mean, for this season, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to bring in a bullpen arm.
Sure,
too.
Sure.
You all right, guys, bullpen. Next up we'll look at the weeks that Albies and Acuna had, but first a quick break. All right, so Ozzy had a huge bounce back after two subpar weeks from a slash line perspective. Anyways, he slashed 391, 462, 696 with two doubles, a triple, and a homer. And he continued to terrorize the Cubs, which is all good as well. Acuna's slash line was modest at 227, 308, 364, but he had huge back-to-back late inning hits and drove in five runs. And he posted that awesome celebration video after the Sunday comeback. Do you guys see that?
No.
No. Oh, yeah. Google that. He in the clubhouse, you know, blaring music. He and Albies and Camargo makes a cameo. It's great. Go look for that. It is well worth your time. Yes.
Yeah. No. It's so exciting. It's so exciting. Like and just so quick. Like I talked about how much the offense was sort of mediocre last season and where we are now. And it feels just transformational. This like how far and because of those two guys and obviously a lot more, we have so instantly become such a completely different team than the team we were, let's say, 2 years ago, right? And to be in first place and to be competing, to be a legitimate contender, you know, in the conversation, is amazing. It's and a lot of it is because of that the Albies and Acuna are here now, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
So great.
All right, guys, let's do Shot in the Dark, our crazy predictions for the week that just concluded, and we'll begin with our listener Shot in the Dark from Eric Russell, who predicted that Flowers and Suzuki would combine to hit over 300 with three homers and eight RBI. So Suzuki batted 250 with a homer and two RBI. Flowers also batted 250 with a homer and three RBI. So combined 250, two homers, and five RBI. So sorry, Eric, but thanks for sending that in. And let's see how the three of us did. So Hammy, you predicted that Albies, Acuna, and Freeman would hit six homers, 20 RBI, and 20 runs scored. Together, so Albies had one homer, three RBI, five runs. Acuna, one homer, five RBI, four runs. Freddie, one homer, four RBI, three runs. So three homers, 12 RBI, 12 runs scored. So close, but not quite there. Curtis, you predicted Ender would hit over 350 with two homers and three stolen bases. He batted 238 with a homer and one stolen base. Yes. And I predicted that Bautista would no longer be a Brave by the end of the week. And lo and behold.
Look at you.
Look at me. All right. So 3 weeks in, I am leading 1-0. All right, guys, what do you have? This is your final week. You can tie. Hammy, what are you going to do?
I say that Freeman hits a homer in each of the games at Fenway.
I like it. All right. Curtis.
I am batting over for the season. So I have Dansby and Camargo, our new full-time left side of the infield, batting over combined to bat over 320, three homers, four doubles.
All right. And I'm going to the Red Sox series as well. Folty is going to give up fewer runs and record more strikeouts than Chris Sale, who he will oppose.
Who I will miss.
Boston this weekend.
Who I will miss, but I will see the other two games for which I'm very excited.
Very nice, Hammy.
Yes. I'll be booed. I was with my kids. I went last 2 years ago and got on the bus with my kids and got booed. Like, boo, Braves suck.
That's nice.
It was nice.
In front of your kids.
Yeah. It's great.
All right. So the week ahead. So 6 games this week, 6 on the road. It's a brutal one. 3 in Philly, 3 at Fenway. So we know Monday is over. Folty opposed Nick Pivetta and lost. Next up, so game 2 in Philadelphia will be Brandon McCarthy against Vince Velasquez in his 437. And then the final game in Philly, as we said, we get Gohara's starting pitching debut as he will face Jake Arrieta. Ugh. And it's 2.82 IRA. Pretty sexy, though, man. Wednesday night's pretty exciting. On to Boston, Sean Newcomb faces Rick Porcello in his 339. Next up, Julio Teheran will face off against Eduardo Rodriguez in his 413. And then finishing up the week, as I mentioned, Folty gets his second start of the week. And Folty pitched quite well Monday night. I mean, 6 innings, 1 earned, you know, pretty good. Folty will face Chris Sale and his 229. So, Hammy, what do you think the Braves are going to do this week? And we get to cheat because we know one of the games.
I was going to say they go 4-2, 2-1, 2-1. So I'm going to stick by that.
Yeah, I'll just say that's mine too. I feel a little less great about it having off Monday, but I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with it. Curtis?
I'm going to go 3-3.
Do they win 2 in Philly or?
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to break up, but somewhere they win 3 and somewhere else they lose 2 more.
Okay. All right. Yeah, really, it would be great to let's break even this week. You know what I mean? I mean, the Red Sox are the best or the second best team in baseball. The Phillies are, you know, our equals, so to speak, record wise anyway. Be great to break even this week.
Especially after the thrilling win to set them off on this road trip. Let's hope the little that Mo carries over.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let's end the week in first place in the East.
Yeah, that would be terrific.
And do we play like a month straight at home?
It's got to be coming because they haven't played at home at all.
They've had the toughest schedule and have had the most road games in Major League Baseball. I think that's accurate. Maybe not 100% accurate, but close enough for this podcast.
And now, of course, it's benefited us since we can't win at home, but still. Right. It doesn't seem right.
Indeed.
And should benefit us in the second half. All right, folks, that is the show. Remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spreaker. And as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access our past shows and to post in our comment section. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. Had to admit the problem.